Hi, you guys. It's Nilu. Welcome back to Order and Chaos. All right, this episode is going to be about mushrooms and microdosing, something I get asked about a lot. But before we get into that, since it is the first of the month, it's February 1st, I've been seeing all the girlies doing their little cinnamon money manifestation spells every month on TikTok, and I figured, you know what, let's give it a try. So if you're listening to this on February 1st, go do it. Even if it's like the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, whatever, I think you can still do it. But then next month, just try to either do it on the last day of the month or the first day of the new month. All right, so here's what you're going to need. And it's probably going to sound crazy, especially if you're not into the whole like woo-woo spiritual stuff. But for the girls who get it, they get it. Okay, so you're going to need cinnamon, like ground cinnamon. Trader Joe's has some, Whole Foods. And then you need a quarter and then a pen and paper to write on. And then bonus points if you have a crystal to pair it with. I'm using Tiger's Eye because I feel like I sound crazy. But anyways, I'm using Tiger's Eye because it's supposed to help bring in good luck, good fortune, and wealth. So I'm going to pair those together. I also have a money tree, so I'm going to add that into the mix. And I've been loving listening to my little frequencies, specifically manifesting frequencies for like love, anxiety, but there's some for money too. So you can find them on Spotify or YouTube. And I've started just like listening to it instead of music, especially when I'm like feeling anxious or overwhelmed, which is like all the time. And when I drive, I will just put on different frequency sounds. I will also say I've been doing spells since I was like a little kid. Literally, like I would find, I don't know if it was books or Google at the time, but I don't know how I find them. But I remember having like spells that had like, you would have to get leaves and flowers and like pick things from the backyard and like find random spices in my kitchen. And I would just like go do them in my backyard. It was always like white magic, like love spells. That was me as a kid, what I was like. So it kind of makes sense that I'm still this way. Anyways, back to our cinnamon money manifestation spell, okay? You're going to take your pen and paper. You're going to write on your paper your manifestation for the month. So for example, I made $10,000 in February 2024. You want to say made instead of like I'm gonna make. Just like a manifestation tip is to act as if it's already happened. And you can get more specific and write how or what you made it from. And it can be whatever amount you want. All right, next you're gonna go outside of your house or apartment. You're gonna face the entryway. And then you're gonna take your quarter, put in your left hand, and you're gonna sprinkle some cinnamon on it. And while you're doing this, you're gonna be reciting your affirmation, which I'll link everything in the show notes. There's a TikToker named OG Goldie, I think, and she kind of started this whole trend. But it's basically just a money mantra, manifestation, affirmation, whatever you want to call it. And while you're saying it, you have to like really believe it. Basically, you just say to yourself, I draw abundance, love, money, health, wealth, success, effortlessly and abundantly to me without any blockages. And you have to really believe it, okay? And you just say that to yourself a couple times, really believe it, put your energy into it. Once you do that, you're gonna enter your doorway and blow the cinnamon into your home so that your space fills with that energy that you just put into that cinnamon. I will say my nightmare is if one of my crushes ever listens to any of these episodes, specifically this one, and just hears me talking about spells and thinks I'm fucking crazy. Anyways, once I do that, I put the paper and my crystal and my quarter in my room. Some people leave the quarter like outside or on the ground or something. I'm putting mine next to my money tree. So now we wait. There you have it, your money manifestation for the new month. I will say I'm not a super money motivated person. I'm more so motivated by freedom, and I feel like money brings a sense of freedom and security. So I guess manifesting money is me manifesting more freedom and security. But anyways, let's get into mushrooms. Okay, one thing I get a lot of questions about is microdosing, or I'll get people who reach out and they just say that they got into mushrooms because of me, or they learned about it because of me from TikToks and podcasts that I've done before. So I figured I would just create a episode on mushrooms and how it's helped me, what I use, all that. And I will start by saying, I don't think that this is for everyone. I'm not saying that this is the fix, but for me personally, it was a very pivoting moment in my healing journey and just gaining a lot of self-awareness on my habits, my traumas, my issues. Not to say that it's fixed everything, but it's definitely brought a lot of it to light and has given me a lot more awareness around it. The first time I ever had mushrooms was my 19th birthday. I was home from college. It was winter break in my hometown, Northbrook, Illinois, suburbs of Chicago. And my high school best friend got us some for my birthday. It was like my first psychedelic experience I had ever had. And I remember like loving it. I was seeing situations from such a different perspective. I felt a lot of empathy. I felt very happy. I just really enjoyed the experience of going into another dimension and accessing new thoughts. Like, it was a very, like, cool experience for me. And also, like, the visuals. I remember one of our sober friends was driving us around, and it literally felt like we were in a rocket ship when we were in the car. And I was just laughing so much. Like, it was a great first experience. And the second time I tried them, both these times were, like, full trips, big doses. But this second time, I was maybe 21, I think. I did it probably a year or two later when I was in college. It was summer, but I was staying on campus, and it was with a friend. It was a lot more adventurous, not like any crazy realizations. It was kind of just like a good time running around campus. I went to Ohio State. So we were just walking around High Street and the frat houses. But the person I was with towards the end of the night was starting to have like a very terrible trip, and it was not good. Like, full demons coming out, and I didn't really like fully understand it at the time, but it didn't ruin my trip. I just feel like I had to like stay with them and make sure that they were okay. But those were kind of like my two initial introductions to psychedelics. I didn't have mushrooms again until I was like 27 and I had moved to LA, so about 3 years ago. But let me backtrack. I want to mention that I've always been a little bit woo woo, obviously, from my manifestation spell earlier. Like I said, when I was little, I would go in my backyard, I would do my little spells, white magic. I've always kind of been into manifestation before I even knew what it was. In high school, I started doing hot yoga, and I remember being obsessed with it because it was almost like an escape that I needed for my mind. And it was also my first introduction into mindfulness and also just the world of mind-body connection. And then in college, I worked in a yoga studio. I was still partying like crazy and kind of like destructive to myself. I'd go on very long benders. Like, I remember one time I went on a 30-day bender, and it was just too much. It was crazy. But then I'd go to the gym, I would do workouts, I would do yoga. So like, I always had an interest in the healthier lifestyle, but the balance wasn't really fully there. I was still kind of like way too much of a party girl back then. But anyways, it wasn't until my accident when I had a major shift. I remember my first introduction to Reiki. It was when I was in the hospital. I was in so much pain. As you guys know, I was hit by a bus. I had spinal fractures. My pelvis was shattered. And at this point, I couldn't move out of bed at all. So I was fully just horizontal. I couldn't roll over on my own. I couldn't do anything. So I was starting to kind of lose my mind a little bit, but I was also physically in so much pain, and the pain meds were just, they weren't doing the trick, okay? I was like at the highest dose you could get, and I still felt so uncomfortable. So one of the nurses one day came in, and she was like, well, we have this program called Healing Hands, and she can come in and do a session with you. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I'll try anything at this point, so sure. Basically, they had this like energy worker in the hospital, which also, this was in Ohio, so very progressive for them. But she came in and she did a Reiki session. At the time, I didn't realize it was Reiki. I didn't know what it was. And I swear it was the most at peace and ease I had felt since being in the hospital. And I became an instant believer. So fast forward, eventually I'm out of the hospital. I'm in my recovery phase, but I'm not back at work yet. I'm still kind of just at my apartment. So I get way more into podcasts. And this is back in like 2018 probably, because I'm basically doing nothing all day. So all I can do is like listen to things, and I kind of just lay in bed in my wheelchair, do some of my PT moves, and that's about it. My main focus was just getting better. So basically, I was also super hyper aware of the type of foods I was eating, what I was putting in my body. I had a nutritionist that I was working with to help me gain back weight because I wanted it to be in a healthy way. I had a holistic doctor that I was working with that was recommending what supplements to take to help me recover. And at the time, I was also taking a lot of pain medications, and I knew I wanted to get off of them because I was on maybe 7 or 8 prescriptions. So I was on Oxycontin, Tramadol, Gabapentin, Valium, I don't know what antidepressants and anti-anxiety at the time. And then there was a few others that I barely can pronounce. But I kind of knew that I didn't want to continue because of my experimental nature when it comes to drugs and just my knowledge of the opioid crisis, because I'd previously worked in healthcare tech. So I basically knew myself well enough, and I was just like, this is a bad combination. I think if I keep going on some of these medications, I could definitely see myself getting addicted to them, just because, in all honesty, I loved the high of the feeling of some of them. I just loved the feeling that I would get when I was on them, because nothing else really mattered in that moment when I was on them. But I was also self-aware enough to know that this was like not healthy. So then at that point, I basically went to my doctor and I told him I wanted to get off of everything, and I was just gonna smoke weed instead. And honestly, he was like supportive of it and kind of knew how bad Oxy was for me. So I think I kind of weaned off of it. To be honest, that whole, that like year and a half, 2 years was kind of blurry just because of all the medication I was on. Okay, so at the time I had stayed on the anti-anxiety medications, and it wasn't until I did the ayahuasca that I really stopped that. So now, kind of catching up, I had my two mushroom experiences in my early 20s, then I didn't do anything, and then when I was 25, I decided I wanted to go to Peru to do ayahuasca. This was something that I had been thinking about for a while. I remember seeing like an episode of Chelsea Handler, and that kind of was like the first introduction I had to it. And then I think, what podcaster was it? Fuck, I forget his name. Oh, I think it was Aubrey Marcus. I think it was Aubrey Marcus on the Skinny Confidential podcast talking about ayahuasca and how healing it was specifically for PTSD. So I had like, I was super interested, and also as someone who was just always kind of like curious about plant medicines and the healing properties and all that stuff, I was like, I have to go try this. Like, I wanted to try anything to get better. For those of you guys who aren't familiar with ayahuasca, basically it's a traditional plant medicine, and a lot of people use it for spiritual and healing purposes. It does contain DMT, which is what causes the psychoactive effects and kind of that altered state of consciousness and the vivid visions and just the intense introspection that can happen during your ceremony or whatever, however you're taking it. In regards to PTSD, there's a few reasons that they say ayahuasca is really healing, and this was like why I wanted to do it. So it's supposed to help with deep emotional processing and help you confront and work through unresolved traumas. The next one is spiritual insights. A lot of people have really profound spiritual experiences during their ayahuasca ceremony, and these contribute to a sense of purpose and just helping people understand that they can positively impact one's own mental being. So another reason that it's supposed to help with PTSD is just the increased mindfulness. A lot of ayahuasca ceremonies focus on mindfulness and just self-reflection and being present in the moment. So this heightened awareness can really help individuals with PTSD gain a new perspective on their experiences. That was like the main thing I was learning about it and what made me so interested in it, because obviously with my bus accident and what I had gone through, remembering every moment of it was very traumatic and something that still lives with me. And we'll kind of get into how I've dealt with PTSD since then, and that's where the microdosing comes into play. But I just want to give you guys like the backstory of how I really got into mushrooms and microdosing. And then the last thing is, there's some studies that say that psychedelics, including ayahuasca, can enhance neuroplasticity, and that's basically the brain's ability to reorganize itself and potentially allowing for new patterns of thinking and behavior. For me, I had recurring thoughts, recurring habits, and things that I just couldn't figure out. And so my reasoning for wanting to explore plant medicine was to help my brain kind of, in a sense, reorganize itself. Okay, so when I did my ayahuasca ceremony, I wanted to go, and now looking back, I'm like, that was kind of crazy of me. I think I was 25 turning 26, or I had just turned 26, but I went to Peru alone, and I think I was there for like a week and a half. And basically before you do ayahuasca, you have to go on a 2-week diet that you can't have weed, no alcohol, basically anything like negative in your life you kind of have to cut out. And then basically there's a diet of specific foods, and then no sexual activity, and also no drugs or medications. So that's when I went off my anti-anxiety medication. So at this time I was not taking anything. And I'll do an episode where I really go into the ayahuasca story, like Peru and everything, but that's just like a whole nother thing. But basically I went to Peru by myself, went in the middle of nowhere, it was the Sacred Valley. Did the ayahuasca ceremony with a shaman because I just felt like at the time I really needed some spiritual awakening after what I'd gone through. I thought it was amazing. I would definitely do it again. However, again, I don't think that this is for everyone. It was really helpful and healing for me, but it's a very intense thing. So I don't think that it's for everyone, but if you have a specific purpose or reason you want to do it, then I think it's an idea to explore. I know for the place that I went to, like I had to fill out a questionnaire that explained what my purpose for going and why I wanted to go, all of those things. All right, so that was my initial introduction to plant medicine. And to me, I don't view any of those things as drugs. When I take mushrooms, I almost look at it as like a supplement. I take them with intention and purpose. There's of course times where, like if I'm going out with friends and I'm being social, I'll take it for fun. But for the most part, the way that I take it microdosing on a day-to-day, it has intention and purpose. Okay, so let's fast forward to when I turned 27. I moved to LA. I had lived in Chicago and Ohio for my entire life. I'm a Midwest girl through and through. So coming to LA was a very big change for me. And I just had become really like depressed. Like it was bad. And I think a lot of it, like I remember a lot of times driving in my car, just having intense flashbacks of my accident. And my PTSD was just really hitting me hard for some reason. And it had always kind of been there, but for some reason when I was in LA, maybe because I was driving more, I don't know what it was, it just started to hit me more. And then, so once I moved to LA during this time, I met a lot of people who were telling me about these mushroom chocolates. It was kind of like the latest thing. Everyone was really obsessed with them and doing them and just like microdosing mushrooms. So I was like, okay, fun. Like I love trying stuff, so why not? And I was doing a lot of research on it and the benefits just for anxiety and PTSD. So I was like, okay, this sounds great. And at the time, I really wanted to cut drinking out of my life or at least take a big break from it. And then I don't remember how, but at some point I discovered a company called Schedule 35. And I remember seeing their post online and, you know, they were kind of one of the first Instagram accounts that I had followed that was talking about it in a way that wasn't like sketchy. And what I liked about them is that they had capsules. Like everyone was talking about these mushroom chocolates, but I liked that they had capsules. It felt a little bit more, not to say regulated, but just like, I don't know. There was something about the capsules that I just liked the idea of it. I actually loved them so much that I reached out to their founder to do a podcast episode with them, which I'll link in the show notes. So if you want more like the science behind the mushrooms and everything, definitely go listen to that. But yeah, I just love them. I had a lot of people ask me where I got my mushrooms from, and eventually they made me a discount code, and I don't get paid or anything from them, but I just like being able to share that with people so that they can try it for themselves. But the discount code is just my first and last name, Nilu Fadi. But anyways, okay, so basically at this point I stopped drinking, stopped going out, and I started to microdose consistently, and I had a dosing schedule of 4 days on and 3 days off. So after about a month and a half, almost 2 months, that's when I started to notice a big shift. At this point I really had no desire to drink, like wasn't something that was attractive to me, which I had spent majority of my teens and 20s binge drinking and just going out and partying, and I never saw a world where I wouldn't be drinking. Like that was crazy to me. And honestly, I just started to feel motivated again. I started to have like new ideas I wanted to explore. I was just excited about life again, and I was starting to be able to process my PTSD in a way that was like manageable, where I would still have the thoughts come into my brain, but they weren't so debilitating. I used to have a lot of anxiety about the future just because of my back pain and just thinking like, oh my god, is it gonna get worse? What does this future look like with having a level 4 spinal fusion at this young of an age? And so I think it just helped me kind of almost like, I don't want to say like accept it, but just be more okay with the situation, like finding like peace with it. I think when I was consistent with the microdosing, that was when I started to actually feel like I was making progress in my healing journey. I had done such a good job on my physical recovery, but mentally was like a struggle. And not to say I still have really hard bad days and moments, but I feel like this is like a tool that I have now, that when I'm having those moments or I can start to incorporate it into my life again, and I kind of feel more balanced once I do that. With the microdosing, I feel like I was starting to become much more aware of the things I was doing and having clarity and saw the habits that I needed to change. And I'm still definitely working on a lot of those things, but I'm more aware of them now. And I think the biggest thing was I finally was able to change my relationship with alcohol. But I have an episode on that too, so I'll link that in the show notes, but it's basically how I changed my relationship with alcohol. Okay, so I'm gonna break down how I took it and my doses and whatnot. So I typically take 200 milligram capsules. When I initially started doing my 4 days on, 3 days off, it was always the 200 milligram capsules. I might have started with 100 for like the first week and then I did 200 milligrams. But I think I was doing that consistently for almost like 6 months. And then once I felt like I had like a good shift, I started to do it more on like an as need basis or like once or twice a week. Currently, I am about to freeze my egg, so I'm going off of mushrooms, weed, alcohol right now. But once I'm done with the egg freezing, I want to start doing a more consistent schedule again with the microdosing, because I've felt myself not fully feeling my best mentally lately, so I feel like I need that back in my life. So the 200 milligram capsules, I typically take that in the morning. I almost treat it as if it's like a coffee or like a supplement that I take in the morning, and it kind of just gives me a little extra energy, focus, and just a little more pep in my step. It's not I don't feel like I'm hallucinating. I'm not seeing any visuals. I still feel like I can function normally. Again, everyone's different, so 200 milligrams might hit someone else a little bit differently. Also, just to kind of backtrack, the 4 days on, 3 days off, the reason you want to take those 3 days off is just so that you don't build a tolerance to it. And on the days that you're not taking it, you're still having the effects of it. So it's still working on those days, if that makes sense. But if you want to learn more on that side of things, I would go back to the episode I did with the founder of Schedule 35 because he talks a lot more about it. Okay, so social settings, I like to do a 500 milligram chocolate square, or I'll do half a chocolate square. I don't know what it is about the chocolates. Those just, for me, are like my social ones. And the 500 milligrams, like a good level for me to be at when I'm like out and about and want to just like have fun. Every now and then I'll take 500 milligrams during the day if I'm like doing something. For example, if I'm going to like a sound bath or an energy session or something like that, I might take a little higher dose just to, I don't know, just to get in my spiritual zone. But yeah, for me, the capsules, I'm like getting work done. Chocolate squares, I'm kind of like more social. There is also a tea that's 200 milligrams, and I love the teas because it kind of feels like a ritual making it and just like sipping on it. So I would say like my order of favorite ways to consume it is probably like tea, capsules, chocolates. Oh, actually, I don't know, because I do love the chocolates. They each have their own special moment, so I can't really put them in like an order. But yeah, I totally forgot about the teas. That those are more like special occasion. Capsules are every day, and then chocolates are more social. One more thing that I forgot to mention, basically I mostly microdose, but maybe 1 to 2 times a year I'll do a super dose when I'll do kind of like a full trip. Usually I would say anywhere from like 2 to 5 grams. 5 grams is like a crazy amount, but that's like when, you know, I really want to go all in. Again, a microdose is like 200 milligrams, half a gram or less. So taking a full gram or more, that's when you're gonna start to have a little bit more of those like visual effects. And then 2 to 5 grams, 5 again is a lot. So that's like when you're basically having like an ego death situation. Just be mindful of what you're taking, how much you're taking. I like to typically do mine alone in my room. I know that might sound crazy. I know people like to go into nature. I like to just create a little safe space in my room, set my intention, set the mood, lights, music, all the things. And typically when I set my intention, I think about things that I'm trying to work through or what I need guidance on. And it's a very intense process. I don't really recommend it to everyone. Like, do your own research and just know yourself, because I've definitely had trips that are a little bit darker and brought things up to me that have been really hard, and it can be super, super emotional, and sometimes those effects just linger. So do all this stuff with caution. Also, I don't think anyone needs to do this. This is just my personal experience of what I've done in the past. I know I'm kind of like jumping around, but just going back to how it changed my relationship with alcohol. And when I did reintroduce alcohol and drinking into my life, I had such a different view on it and the way that I felt more in control. I used to have like the urge to just go nonstop. There was no limit. It was just basically drink after drink. Which now the thought of blacking out kind of like repulses me. I don't love alcohol, but every now and then I'm obviously like, you know, in certain situations, it's fun, it's fine. I feel like I have control over it now, so I can do it. But for a while it was like, I can't really even go there. But I realize I tend to feel sick almost sometimes when I drink, even if it's like one cocktail, one glass of wine. Like, I don't know, I just don't think my body likes it. But I will say there is just something so fun about getting like tipsy with your girlfriends on a girl's night, or if you're with your crush and just like letting loose and having fun. Like, that's fun. So, but now I can actually enjoy those moments, whereas before I would just go overboard every single time. I think part of that was also surrounding myself with people who weren't obsessed with drinking and going out to bars and clubs. That's just not a productive way that I like to use my time. And so I had to find people who were like-minded. So that would be like my biggest thing, is look at the people who are around you and what their habits are and what they're doing. If they're going out all the time and you're not trying to do that, like, it might be time to find new friends, which sucks, especially when you're older, it's hard. And that was like a very weird transitional part of my life, but I'm so happy that I went through that. My ideal situation is hanging out on a couch, getting comfy, maybe smoking a joint, like staying in and being able to like talk to people and actually hear them. But I will say every now and then I'll come out of retirement and, like, for example, Lollapalooza, I really let loose and had the time of my life. But I think because I'm not doing it every single weekend, that when I do actually decide to go have fun and whatever, I can actually enjoy it, versus waking up the next day being so anxious over like literally nothing and like hating myself for the next 2 days. All right, anyways, back to mushrooms. Sorry you guys, this episode's chaotic and all over the place. I don't really want to go too much into the science of it because I'm probably not the best person to talk about all those things, but similar to what I said about ayahuasca, psilocybin also has been shown to increase neuroplasticity, which is supposed to help change neural connectivity and the formation of new neural pathways. And that's ideally helping people break free from any negative thought patterns, especially when it's associated with like PTSD, anxiety, and depression. The other part of it is that psilocybin has an active compound that interacts with the serotonin receptors in your brain. So ideally what it's supposed to help with is mood regulation and just improvements in any mood disorders. Again, always do your own research. This is just my experience, what I've learned, but do your own research and do what works for you. Okay, so when it comes to microdosing, what I've learned and what's worked for me is starting with a lower dose. The goal is to take a dose that is below the threshold for producing any psychedelic effects so that it's more of a subtle shift in your mood without, you know, going into a full trip. The way that I think about microdosing is that it's something that can kind of work in the background and that it's not super in your face. Does that make sense? Okay, when it comes to the frequency and dosing schedule, there's different methods around it that people have done. So, like I said, I had started with 4 days on, 3 days off, but I know people who do, I think it's like 1 day on, 1 day off, whatever it is. So I would do your research, see what the different options are, and then try one that works for you. I think it's really important to pay close attention to how you feel on microdosing days and the days in between. Everyone's gonna have a different response. So I would say keep a journal or a notebook and record your experience, your mood, your energy levels, any like noticeable changes in your mental state. I think the documentation will just help you start to identify patterns and be able to also make adjustments, see what's working, what's not. And I think the other thing is just finding a schedule that works for you and trying to be consistent with it. I think that's the best way to have like long-term effects and benefits. But yeah, that's like pretty much it. I just want to share with you guys my personal experience and what's worked for me. Hopefully this episode will bring a little bit more clarity because I know that's a common question that people reach out to me about, and there's not like a good way to just type out this response. So I figured recording an episode would be the easiest way. But if you guys still have questions or if there's things, feel free to reach out to me and I'll try to answer as best as I can. I would just do your own research. I would make sure it's from a good source. And there's a lot of podcast episodes about it. Netflix has a lot of good documentaries that you can also watch. My three favorites are How to Change Your Mind, Fantastic Fungi, and Have a Good Trip. They have a few others too, I think, but those are like my top three on Netflix to watch. I highly recommend those. There's a lot of people who are experts in this field. I would not consider myself an expert. I just have had a positive experience from trying it personally. I always get asked where I get mine from, and like I said, Schedule 35, that's basically what I've always used. There's probably other options out there, but that's just the one that I've stuck to. I'm open to trying other ones, but I just haven't felt the need to yet. But I'm sure there's plenty of other great brands that you can also get it from. But I'll leave everything in the show notes. But yeah, that's all for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, leave a review, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.